my wife and I actually, we're going to facilitate this together. And what I was going to share here, that song came to my mind about the one. The one. Everyone said the one. I initially wanted to ask the question is, is the one a myth or a process? Because so many people are still on that journey and they missed the process because they were waiting for the product. And sometimes the product is not a one-off thing. The product is a process. And if you're waiting to see the product before you engage in the relationship, you might just altogether just miss it. Because the one is a process. Everyone said the one is a process. So look at your husband. Even if he hasn't got any hair left on his head, just say, the one is a process. Right, I'm going to read two scriptures to you quickly. I'm going to read two scriptures, and you'll be surprised what these scriptures got to do with this. But today, today, equipping people, we're talking about the questions that men and women wish their partners could ask them. The questions that men and women wish their partners could ask them. So it's going to be very interactive. Welcome to church today. In case you're wondering, am I in church? You're really in church. So let's get real. So it's going to be very interactive today. I've got some people who are actually going to just ask a question they wish their partner could actually ask them. Rather than so, because we need to actually get this right if we're talking about relationship without limitation. So my first scripture is in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 11. Ask your neighbor, did you bring your Bible to church today? Okay. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 11. Let's read. But Naaman, 2 Kings, is not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. I know you know. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I have said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And not the Abana and the Papa, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done? How much more now when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, for context, for those of you who might not be familiar with our story, a very powerful man in the land of Syria was leprous, and he was told that there was a prophet in the land of Israel who could actually heal him, and the prophet was recommended. So he went there, and the prophet just told him, yeah, just go and have a dip in one of the, you know, not so clean rivers. And this general, this highly decorated commander in the army of Syria was enraged. And he was thinking, I was expecting something different. And now he's asked me to go to some filthy, not so clean river to go and dip myself. What insolence was that? But he was told that. But if this man had asked to do something crazily expensive, would you not have thought about it? But the fact that he's asking you to go and do something else, it did not meet your expectation. And he actually listened, and then he went and he was healed. I'll bring this to a close. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. And I'll read from verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding the 12 disciples that he that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John has heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, are you the one to come, or should we look for another one? Are you the one to come, or should we look for another one? I'm sure you're thinking, right, okay, this has got nothing romantic about it. And that's why, because we need to look at the Word of God from a multifaceted lens, not just a tunnel vision lens when you look at that. One word that comes out of there is simply expectation. And when you look at how people have either destroyed relationship or got into relationship, it's simply, someone said, the number one relationship killer is not poor communication or finances. Most of the time, it is expectations. We become offended with a person that when we actually get into relationship because we either expected the relationship to go a particular way, but it veered off our trajectory. And many times we never bother to really ask the most pertinent question because we're afraid of offending the other person. I know we've just had Valentine and some people are still recovering from either too much cake or too much it's you, not me kind of text message. I hope no one got that here. Let me just know who they are. I'll go and buy a baseball bat on your behalf and go and sort them out for you. Don't worry about it. Don't remind me of what I did years ago. You don't need to remind me of that. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new in Jesus. Let someone say amen. Amen. In fact, the Word of God reminds me that my sin has gone into the sea of forgetfulness, including my deed. So who are you to remind me of what God has forgotten? We started talking about emotional intelligence, and like I've just said, the expectation of the one has made many people to actually lose focus. And so many people are looking for finished products when the process that will lead to the finished product is right there in front of you, but you missed it. Expectation sometimes will destroy the thing that so many people would have built fruitfully, positively. And I'm not going to take time, but took so much time, but listen to this. We said emotional intelligence is a capacity to recognize your own feelings and those of others, for motivating yourself, for managing emotion well with yourself and in your relationship. In the two scriptures that we read, the general was expecting so much. What he was expecting was not what he saw, and he became enraged. John the Baptist, who was actually the one who proclaimed the coming of Jesus, was himself confused because what he saw was not what he was expecting. And he began to ask the question, are you the one to come, or should we wait for somebody else? And what you find out, with, especially with relationship, is when there is a tension between what is ideal self and the real self. Many times we go into relationship because we wanted the ideal self. And after 1 year, after the romance had worn off, then the real self come out. And we're thinking, whoa, I did not bargain for that. I told my student last week that when I first started dating my wife, and I think I've shared it before, I went to her house 7 a.m. one day and knocked on the window. She opened the window and I said, okay, yeah, we can work with that. She didn't understand why I came there because I didn't want to wake up on wedding the morning after the wedding night. I'd enter and I just, who is this? And so I went to her house, just wanted to see what she would look like in the morning. let's be real, because you just want to know, you know, you don't want to be fooled by all the I want to know if there's something that we will need to manage together in the house. Let's know how we're going to manage it. But I don't want to be so please, if the brother has never seen you, you know, remove the mask and let the brother see you. In fact, do you know, the song I was actually going to play, but I thought some might think we need to start praying for our pastor. I was actually going to play See, Billy, you're beautiful. Would you let me? I'm just some people like, all right, that's it. I'm leaving this church. I didn't know their pastor has backslidden this much. But this is the truth. Sometimes the facade that we put up when we're dating people, the things we promised when we're dating people, the things we promise in relationships, and then we get into the relationship and the reality is there. They were looking for the ideal person. But then suddenly they found out they've married a real person. But it should not just remain there. Like I said, the usual tension is between our ideal self and the real self. And there's difference between the ideal and how we present ourselves. What are the honest questions that men and women would like to ask themselves? So the masks are off today. And in equipping, everyone say the masks are off. And so I've asked a couple of men and women, what honest questions would they wish their partners will ask them in relationships? And why do they think that those questions are very important? And I think there are a couple of things we will learn from those questions, because sometimes what we think is going on in the mind of the woman or the mind of the man are totally different to the things they actually wish you could ask them. Sometimes we think that our men or our women, they've got it all together. And if you're not in a relationship, I believe you could learn one or two things from this. I've got Ola, who definitely, he just said, yeah, bring it on. I've got Jason. Everyone say hello to Jason. Yeah, Jason is over there. I've got Ola. Where's Ola? Is he hiding? Yeah, Ola is over there. I've got Sosa, who's also going to contribute today. Give a wave to everyone. Hello. Where's Roxanne? I've got Roxanne over there, who's going to say something. And Sister Felicia will bring something from age and life and all of that as well. Who have I missed out? I've got Jason. I've got Ola. I've got Nii as well, who's going to bring something from his own perspective. What are the honest questions that men and women wish their partners are asking? We'll start with Ola.
Okay, if I understood the task properly, the first question I think I wish women would ask men is, do you truly feel like you can talk to me? I think there's a lot of emphasis placed on how men need to open up and men need to be able to speak about their emotions, but I don't think they're always given the right environment to do so, because if you feel like when you're speaking to somebody, you're giving them ammunition they're later going to use against you, you're going to close up, you're not going to give them any more information. If you feel like every time you speak up, you're going to be punished for it, or in some way it's going to be more of a problem that you spoke up, then you're just going to learn to close off. And so rather than what are you thinking, what's on your mind, talk to me, we need to communicate more, it's more, have I given you the environment you truly feel safe to express yourself?
I think I need to just go like that, because really that's the truth. Have I given you enough environment to trust me enough to actually be able to speak to me, or that conversation will become an arsenal in the next. Have you started again? That was how you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Any woman disagree with that? No? Yes? Okay. See, you actually silenced them.
It's wisdom. Thank the Lord. Shall I give the second one?
The second one.
Okay. The second one is, how do you feel desired? What can I do that makes you feel desired? I think often. Hello? Yeah. I feel like because men are often the ones that pursue women, women never have to really develop any kind of game for relationships. Valentine's Day is about what men do for women. It's about flowers, about chocolate. It's about.
No, I disagree. Kind of, you need to be to my house to know
that. Your wife is wise, but yeah. I'm saying that often the way, in terms of the way society has placed it, there's never really any emphasis on how a man would feel desired in these situations. And so I think with men, it's often about the practicality of things. You know, can you cook or can you clean or whatever it is? And with women, it's about the romance of things. But women need some practicalities and men need some romance as well. It's just that what we might determine romance is different from what you might determine romance. And so it's about understanding what makes you feel desired. How is it you'd like me to speak to you, interact with you, that would make you feel truly desired in this marriage? And, you know, even, I'm going to, yeah, if, if you're married and you're talking about sex, for example, there's one thing to say, okay, I let you have sex with me whenever you want. It's another thing to say, I came to you and initiated and said, I want to have sex with you. There's two different things. And so if a woman feels like she's doing her part because she's let her husband have sex, it doesn't make him feel desired. It just makes him feel tolerated and accommodated. But that's not enough for our relationships to thrive. And so I really believe that we need to start learning how to make each other feel desired in the way that that person feels desired, not in the way that you think they should feel desired.
Okay, so why did you turn around and look like that? Did you think your wife was there or something?
Oh, no, I know she's at home, but... No, I was checking how many kids were around. I didn't want them to ask too many tough questions after the service. But the whole point was I think that element is a serious one. Obviously, sometimes Christians can be a bit funny about sex, but it's like it's a serious one that needs to be addressed in the general context of feeling desired.
Okay. So I get two from you. What you wish a woman will ask man is, do I provide the environment safe enough for you to trust me with conversation? And do I make you feel desired? Yep, thank you very much. Before I go, you want to say something?
Do you want me to respond to that now? Or shall I respond, ladies, on our behalf? Okay, it might not be the answer you want, ladies, but... but we have to be real, isn't it? So I'm just going to... share something with you just to kind of support what I'm trying to say. So talking about expectations, I also have a counter question also, which is, how can you truly create an atmosphere of happiness or, you know, love with your spouse when you have nothing to give yourself? Can you imagine all the pressure we put on our spouse when we act like it's their job to make us happy? And vice versa. So the men act as if it's the women's job to make me feel desired. And the ladies act as if it's the man's job to make me feel loved. So I want to look at Ola's question from a balanced view. And I've had this marriage, a lot of mates in marriage. I've been trying to write on marriage mates that I can bust. And I'm working on it. And when I'm ready, I'm going to unleash it. We talk about marriage, we'll meet halfway. Do you really meet halfway? I want to know, do you really have to meet? Is it about meeting halfway? Some people thought it's halfway. Now, don't change your mind. What do you honestly think? Do you meet halfway? If you don't meet halfway, where do you meet? So where do you meet? Sister Shirley, where do you meet? 100%. We go into marriage with the mindset that I'll give my 50. No, it doesn't work that way. That's why we end up feeling I'm not worth it. He doesn't love me, doesn't appreciate me, doesn't care for me. Because you're thinking, let me give my 50 so I get 50 back. No. In fact, you don't give to receive it. How about that? So something I've been learning recently is you give your 100%. He gives his 100%. And then you find a meeting ground by giving that. Sorry, some people are disagreeing with me. Okay, just a question. Okay, yeah. Oh, let me just finish wrapping this up and then. So what am I saying is, because I went into marriage, I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm not just going to come here and tell you like, oh, I've got it all together or, oh yeah, I give my 100% all the time. No, I went into marriage with so much expectation. The expectation I place on him is, he's going to feed me spiritually, he's going to be my spiritual father, he's going to be my mentor. I mean, come on one man. And so when the real Brother King came out, I realized that Brother King is also a man and a human being, and Brother King has needs as well. But to be honest, for most part, I would say the first 5 years of marriage is usually that time that we still live in, two, maybe one, that we live in that fantasy land. And I had placed so much of these expectations. And you know what? Those expectations were not met. And what happened? I was emotionally crushed. I'm telling you, I was emotionally crushed. and I felt unloved, unappreciated. I felt all the emotions that you could ever feel. But what happened? Did he suddenly became my deliverer? I had to deliver myself. And I had the way I delivered myself is when my eyes was open and I realized that my role as a wife or my role in any relationship that you are in is to actually, the first thing is to give. And where you're given, you're not given because, oh, when I do this, it's going to do this back for me. And so I started to pour out, you know, everything it needs. And I'm telling you that when I do those things, without the things I've been asking for and crying out for, unexpectedly, he just does them. And I'm like, what changed? I changed.
Shall I just drop the microphone through, like, I changed. Bang. I mean, Valentine night was crazy. I mean, send the girls to bed on time, the candlelight in the house, and may the Lord save you. You like too much story. But yeah, that's actually how it's been. I mean, the first two years was just mad. I remember there was a night my wife said, "That's it, I'm done." And she walked out of the house, but she walked as far as just the stairs, and she sat down on the stairs. So who walks out of the house and sit on the stairs? But what she really wanted was for me to chase, not just for me to stay. So I went out, and I sat down beside her on the stairs at 1 a.m. in the morning, and we talked, we cried, and then we went back in. We've 13 years of being married, we've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And we can stand and say God has been faithful. We've been through times that we didn't even have £5 to buy food in the house. And we've been through the time that we have £116,000 in our account. So God has been faithful to us as a people. So I'll come to Sosa.
I just want to echo Ola's question. I know women already do a lot in relationships, but more so around how can we support men mentally in relationships. So I'm a single person, but from what I've witnessed with my mum and dad and their relationship, my dad is quite a close person. And in terms of his mental health, he's not opened up as much as he should, and it manifests in different ways. So that's something I really want to tackle in my future marriage. How can we support more men more in their mental health? My second question is around what you just said right now, and is about people sometimes missing the process in the desire to just get the product. How do you know what processes are worth sticking out for? Those are my two questions.
Wow. How do you know which process is actually worth sticking out for? Because some products will not manifest regardless of how long the process is. So how do you know? How do you know, Sister Shirley, how do you know which product is worth sticking out the process for?
The first thing you need to be honest with God and be honest with yourself. And you ask God to direct you to products that will help you personally, because he knows you personally. He made you. And as you're looking, he will get people to talk to you. He will let you see a clip on YouTube. There's different things that will just come your way. And it's up to you to do the work and to do the research for your own self. For your own mental health,
it's not yourself. You met a product, but a product is not a finish. It's not the one yet. How do you know this one is worth sticking my time for through the process to becoming the one? Or should I just go now? Like John the Baptist said, are you the one to come? Mm-hmm. Or should we expect another one? So how do you know that is don't want to come, but is still someone, is not yet the one. But you can go through the process with someone till they become the one. So how do you know that's the person to stick up to?
There are things that in your own life,
okay,
you know where God is taking you. And the product that comes before you, you have to realize and recognize, is this the person that God has for me? If there's certain values that you don't have together from the onset, like if the person's lazy and you're a person who's a go-getter and you want to do things, you think, well, can I be with this individual? Is this person ambitious? Can I be with this individual if they're not? There's some people who are not ambitious, but they just need somebody to encourage them. And then they will see the giftings that's inside of them. And then you could be that conduit to help them. But it's only you seeking God all the time and saying, God, is this the person for me? And if God is saying within 3 months, no, that is not the person for you, don't waste time with that individual.
Okay. So if I'm a lamb and a lion turned up, should I wait, you know, hoping that I won't get devoured on the way and just stay with them? Or should I just trust God to be my shepherd and just watch over me while I'm going through that journey?
You need to ask God for wisdom. Okay. Because sometimes our emotions will say, well, I'm waiting, you know, I'm on the shelf and, you know, this person seems ideal. Mm. But you still need that discernment to know, God, is this the right person?
Yeah.
Because you could have your family, your friends speaking into your life and saying certain things. And you've got to weigh up and say, God, am I being real or am I allowing my emotions to get in the way that I want this individual more than what?
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's appreciate Sister Shirley. Thank you very much. So learn to actually let God guide you. Sometimes the product doesn't always look like that. But if you are willing to stick the process, but there are times you discern that this one, you can't stick the process with this one. This one, the toad or the frog will never become a prince. It doesn't matter how much you take it to Harold. It's never going to happen. And then you run for your life. So I'm going to knee now from the man's perspective. And then I'll come to Roxanne, and then I'll come to Jason, and I'll come to Sister Felicia. The questions, honest questions, men wish the women will ask them. We've already got four from Ola and Sosa, and Sister Sheila has responded. Yep.
Okay, I think for me, actually I spoke with my wife about, we were having this conversation last night about what we wish we had, and we were lucky in the sense that we had a pastor who kind of mentored us through, and we covered a lot of topics which were very helpful in getting to know each other. I think going kind of off topic slightly, I think it's really important that you understand the homes you've come from, because understanding the homes you've both come from helps you understand the person, what their expectations are, because the home you've come from builds the expectations you go into marriage with, because that's what you've seen your whole life. So your parents, analyzing all of that helps. But I think the one question I would probably say is, how do you deal with conflict? Because men and women definitely deal with conflict very, very differently. And this is what we're saying. So I can be very closed off. Like a lot of men can just kind of go within themselves, and women can be a lot more vocal. So how do you handle that when you're in a situation where you have to deal with a conflict or there's a difference in opinion? How do you deal with that?
So you wish a woman will ask you, how do you deal with conflict?
I think from both sides. I think both sides need to have that understanding of how they deal with conflict. Because a man, we're very different sometimes in the way we see things. I know when me and my wife, if we have a conflict, I can be very much like very closed off and just not really speak, whereas she wants to resolve it there and then, whereas I might need some time to go away and think about it. So it's
how long do you spend in your man cave? 1 day, 2 weeks?
Not even that long, just to process out what I'm thinking, feeling, and then trying to come forward with something. Well, sometimes I might not be able to say anything. I might just be like, I don't want to talk about it. And just try and let it go and process it. But sometimes that's not the most healthiest way, because she doesn't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So it's finding the balance.
Okay. So how do you deal well with conflict? You wish you will ask you that question. And why do you think that is a very important question to ask?
I think because obviously there's no marriage that doesn't have, you're not the same person. You're going to have differences of opinion. So you need to understand how you deal with it. How do you process that out so that we can move forward together? So how do we come to a resolution when we have a conflict? It's not just necessarily about saying, oh, this is my way. And it's about like what Pastor was saying before about you both have to give 100%.
Yeah.
In that situation, sometimes you don't want to give 100% when you're in conflict. You just want to put your viewpoint up front. You're not trying to understand the other person's opinion.
Right. Excellent. Thank you very much. So we've got, do I trust you enough to be able to share your heart with me? We've got, how would you like to be desired? How do I desire you? We've got, is your mental health steady enough for me to actually be able to help you? What is your experience of mental health? We've got, what is your experience of upbringing like so that I will have an understanding of that? Roxanne.
Pastor really put me on a hot seat today.
Yeah.
I messaged Pastor, I was like, I'm shy, I don't want to talk, please.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Put the message up. But to kind of round off what Nee was saying, what I put forward to Pastor was couples kind of touching base with each other and discussing what your expectations are. So wives asking husbands, what are your expectations? Husbands asking wives, what are your expectations in these four areas, which was spiritually, physically, emotionally, and practically. So spiritually, it could be a wife asking a husband, am I meeting your spiritual expectations? Am I leading the home when it comes to our spirituality in the way that you expect me to? Physically, intimacy, are you meeting my intimate love language? Like, I think when it comes to kind of like sex, husbands tend to desire more. And I think with women, if a woman's emotional needs are met, a husband's physical needs will be met. And I think that when it comes to women,
press repeat.
For me, anyway, speaking for myself, if my emotional needs are met, Jeffrey's physical needs will be met. I feel desired.
Man.
And in return, I will make sure that he is desired, if that makes sense. So kind of to reverse what Ola was saying in terms of women seeking out men, it will happen if her emotional needs are met. Like in the 10 years that we've been married, if emotionally I don't feel desired, emotionally I don't feel respected, physically it's not going to happen. In terms of practically, are you doing what is needed in terms of finances, contributing to like upbringing of the kids, domestic assistance? Practically, are we meeting each other's needs in that area? So I think holistically, when we talk about expectations, I don't think it's just one area, but and it's not just a question that you can kind of have one off. I think it's like topics that need to be raised every once in a while, because a lot of times conflicts can arise just because expectations aren't being met. So let's say, for example, our husband, he might have an idea that when it comes to spiritually, he's going to pray every single morning. The wife's expectation is like, no, in the morning I need to be doing X, Y, and Z. So that can already start an argument in the morning. But if you know each other's expectations from the get-go, and if you're touching base every once in a while, I think that can kind of settle some conflicts.
Thank you very much. Let's just appreciate Roxanne. Really solid. We'll go to Jason, and we just have, I think, about 2 minutes each to quickly speak about the honest question you wish a woman will ask you. Are you married or single, Jason? We need to know.
Wait. Calm down. Nah, I'm waiting on the Lord. Amen. Nah, I think my question kind of sums up, I think, what everybody has been saying. It's really in the most simplest form, is, are you okay? There's so much, like my brother Ola said and brother Nee said, and even the women as well. There's so much that we kind of take on that is not spoken about, from just getting up in the morning to going to work, dealing with stuff at work, but knowing that, you know, for those of us that have this mentality that we are the ones that need to make sure that our house is provided for. So it's like sometimes we're dealing with stuff at work and pushing through, just knowing, okay, listen, wifey has to be taken care of, the children have to be taken care of. And then even for those of us that are involved in ministry in some form, you know, that's another responsibility that we think about. Maybe, okay, I'm sown into this ministry, so I have to push through this Monday through Friday, 37 and a half hours a week, 1 hour to commute to work and 1 hour back, to make sure that every single thing that I'm doing is done. So it's kind of just, are you okay? Like, are you really okay? That ties into what Brother Olo was saying, the mental health question, even the,
in that statement, are you okay? Something you wish your partner will ask you every now and then. Yeah. Are you okay?
Every day. No. Every now and then.
Are you okay? Okay, right. Well, thank you very much, Jason. We'll come to Sister Felicia. You've been married for how long now?
38 years.
Awesome. With age comes experience. So, go for it.
What I wish that my husband asked when we first met was to ask Mufuluwasho, what are your values, really? What are the values that you would like us to build together? Because he's coming from a different background and I'm coming from a different background. There wasn't much of talking in our days. So it would have been better to actually talk more about the future, which actually at the back of expectations, so that we can work together. I'm still unfinished product, by the way. but I believe that the word of God that says that God can turn things that are meant not to be good for good. And it is very, very important that you are surrounded by inspired believers, mentors, because without that, there's no way one can make it. And thank God that I have people that has been saying, especially my mother, I said, I'll do this. He said, no, you cannot. And finally, I don't know whether it's different these days, that you believing in God, because is it Psalm 37 verse 5 that talks about that you commit everything into God's hand and trust in him. I was born again in 1997. And before then, there are things that were done my way. I always try to have the final say, isn't it? No matter what Mr. Ojo is saying, mine has to be the final. And it took me years to understand that, no. I don't have to have the final say. If Christ have the final say, everything will work together for good. And so for us women, what I can say is that it does not matter your background. When Christ is the center, everything works out for good. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I know we're out of time. This kind of thing, it's something that we should be able to have like 2 hours for. But I know since we're in this season, we're just trying to... because we're in this season, because I've been thinking about the theme about the one, and how so many people have actually missed the process because the product is not there. And you could easily forfeit the process, you could easily forfeit the result just because you're not patient to wait for the process. And I think we live in the microwave drive-through generation where if it is not ready, I'm not ready either. I'm not there. And I think looking at the scripture that we looked at together, sometimes what God has prepared for you doesn't always look like the real deal. It doesn't. My wife and I, we spoke with a couple yesterday and they were telling us about their testimony and how God was faithful to them. But at the time, it didn't look like the real deal. So many people lost the person, the relationship they could have gone into because the person didn't look like their ideal tick box list. But sometimes if you're just willing to discern, like Sister Shirley said, and be ready to wait and know that sometimes someone could become the one, if you're ready to go through the process, you eventually see that being fulfilled. And I'm not just talking about in terms of just emotional, intimate relationships. Sometimes the job that you never thought could be the one could eventually become the one. I'll finish like this.
sometimes the camel you're watering could be carrying your inheritance. Sometimes the camel you're watering could be carrying your inheritance. When the servant of Abraham was looking for Rebekah, and he said, the Lord of my father Abraham led me. While I was in the way, the Lord led me. He said, let the maiden for whom God has chosen for the son of my master be the one that will come out. When I ask, would you give me water? Let her be able to say, yes, I will, and I will water your animal. And when Rebecca came out, she was the one who watered the man and watered the animal. Neither did she know that the camel she was watering was carrying her inheritance. Sometimes someone could be the one if you're ready to actually wear the process. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, and what you're seeing is not looking like it. And God has been speaking to you to just say, sometimes the one always looks like a finished product. Or perhaps you are at the point whereby you're about to just give up at work. John the Baptist, even though he saw everything, say, are you the one to come or should we? Sometimes expectation, because he veered off. But let's not forget what Ola said. Now it's important for us to be in a position whereby we're able to build trust of the other person, that it could bear their heart. You should always ask the question, have I provided enough environment for you to trust me with your feelings without me using it against you? How can I make you feel desired? Ladies, I know when some of us were growing up, we grew up in a place where you've been told that men chase women. Not really. You can chase your husband. If your husband is not being, he doesn't like being chased, come and tell me. I'll counsel him. You should feel privileged that you're being chased in the house. My wife chased me, and I chased my wife. You know what I'm saying? Sosa said we should be in the position whereby we should make sure that the mental health, we should be asking them, are you sure your mental health is at that position whereby am I really, really creating atmosphere and meeting your mental health needs? Not just that. He was saying about where we are brought up. Is your upbringing, your upbringing the kind that complement one another and our relationship be able to flourish in that aspect? Roxanne said, have I provided enough to meet your needs spiritually, economically, physically, and intimately? And Jason said, are you okay? Taking time to ask the question every now and then, are you okay? It's amazing. Are you okay? And Sister Felicia wrapped it up by saying, what values do you have which you would like me to be a part of? How will I best serve the values that uphold you before we even go into this relationship? My wife is going to wrap up with prayer today, but listen, guys, we need to actually go into relationship without limitations, get into the place where we know that we are willing to stick the process as long as the product will come out done at the end. But if the product is not leading you through the values that you believe in so much, run. I pray God gives us wisdom, discernment, understanding, clarity of how to go with it. But I'm trusting God that this year, that we will get it right. It will mark the beginning of us getting it right in every area of our lives in Jesus' mighty name.